بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. As you brothers have heard, we're going to deal with a hadith inshaAllah that was mentioned very briefly by our brother Imam Zamil al-Akh Amjad, who has spoke earlier and mentioned this hadith in the presentation that they put forth, him and Al-Akh Abu Khadija. And that's the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that has been narrated by a number of his companions. Many of his companions have narrated that hadith, and it's his statement, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, يَحْمِلُ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ مِنْ كُلِّ خَلَفٍ عُبُولُهُ ينفون عنه تحريف الغالين وانتحال المبتلين وتأويل الجاهلين. The Prophet said, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, verily there will be a group of trustworthy people who will defend this knowledge from every era, ERA. From every era, from every generation, there are going to be a group of udul, from the word adil, people who have adala or integrity. They will defend the knowledge from the tahrif of the ghalim and from the intihal of the mubtaleen and from the ta'weel of the jahileen. This hadith, ikhwan, before getting into some of the minhaj benefits of this hadith and important issues, let me first make it clear here that, as I said, many of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have narrated this hadith, and each and every one of those narrations is weak by itself. Not a single one of them is without fault or problem. You took all of those narrations and you can strip it down in a chain of narration, you're going to find in some instances multiple problems in one single chain. But those problems are not serious problems. So therefore, when you put all of those narrations together, you'll find that the hadith will reach the level, at least the level of hasan. And as you all know, inshallah, the hasan hadith is a level which the hadith is accepted. Even though there are some major scholars in this religion who say that all of those narrations together make the hadith sahih, which is a level above hasan. From those scholars who said that this hadith is sahih, Al-Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah ta'ala, like Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi mentioned in his book, Sharaf Ashab al-Hadith, as well as Al-Imam Al-Ala'i, in his book, Bughyat al-Muntamid, he said that the hadith is sahih. In addition to that, Al-Imam Ibn al-Wazir, Al-Yamani, and his tremendous book in Aqidah called Al-Awasim Al-Qawasim. Every student of knowledge knows about that book because it is in defense of the Aqidah and the Minhaj of Ahlul Hadith. So Al-Imam Ibn al-Wazir al-Yamani, the Sheikh Nasiruddin al-Albani rahimahullah, used to take a lot of time out to take care of his books by giving the tahqiq and the tahrij of his book. In addition to those three tremendous scholars, some of the people who see this hadith as being sahih is Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, Shaykh al-Islam, in his book Miftah Dar al-Sa'ada. And other than them are many. Al-Imam al-Zahabi said it was sahih, Al-Imam al-Qassalani, and other scholars. The point is, whether it's sahih or whether it's hasan, the hadith is an accepted hadith in the religion, and it is a very important hadith as it relates to the minhaj al-Salafi, the minhaj al-Haq, and the Aqidah al-Salafiyah, and the Haqiqah of this minhaj and this proper Aqidah. So before explaining it, we want to take this opportunity now just to give you some of the definitions so that you can get some concept of what the hadith is talking about. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as you all know, he was given the ability in which he had what is known as the Jawami' al-Kalam, the ability to say something that had a few words but it had far-reaching implications and meaning. He was the most eloquent of the speakers of the Arabic language. And even though he had people who were with him who were scholars of the language like Abu Bakr and Umar, his poet Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu anhum, many times the Prophet ﷺ used to say words to them and they would have to ask him, what's the meaning of that, Ya Rasulullah? Who are those people? Who are these people? What is this and what is that? Because he was the most eloquent of those people who spoke Arabic. When the Prophet said, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, yahmilu hadhal ilma min kulli khalafin uduluhu, this knowledge would be carried, or this knowledge would be protected. The meaning of knowledge here is not what comes to your mind when you think about knowledge. يَحْمِلُ هَذَا الْعِلْمِ. And ilm here is not the knowledge that we try to come out and we try to obtain now. The knowledge here is يَحْمِلُ هَذَا الْدِينِ. The meaning of knowledge is the religion. There will be a group of trustworthy people who will carry or who will defend this deen. How do we know that it's the deen? Because there are many examples of the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he used the word ilm, but he meant by it a deen. Another clear proof is the statement of that famous and that tremendous tabi'i, and he was from the imam of the tabi'een, and he was foremost from amongst them, and that is the Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullahu ta'ala. He said a famous statement that everyone heard before and everyone knows, when he was giving advice to the students who were amongst him, who were there, and there were a lot of deviant ideas that were being introduced into the religion. He said to the people, إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمُ دِينٌ فَلْيَنْظُرُوا أَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. He said to the students and to us, verily this knowledge is the deen. So let everyone pay attention. Let everyone look at who he takes his knowledge from. Verily this ilm is the deen. So that proves what? It proves again, as I put forth, that the meaning of ilm in this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that those udul, or those trustworthy people, when they come, they're going to carry and protect the deen. He went on to say that they're going to protect it from what? They're going to protect the religion from the tahrif of the ghalin. The ghalin are those people who go overboard in the religion. They want to pray all day. They want to fast all day. They want to fast and they don't want to talk. They want to live and they want to have this life of zuhud without having any food. They want to be the people who make things difficult upon themselves and difficult upon the people of the ummah. They're going to make tahrif and their interpretations that would allow them to do what they want to do, to implement and to practice their wudu. Something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us about when he said, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi, halakal mutamatti'un wa qalaha thalatha. He said three times, those people who go overboard, they will be destroyed. They have been destroyed. When he was about to die, he warned this community of going overboard in our issues, being of the people who make things too difficult upon yourself. He was on his deathbed and he warned his companions, and they in turn took care of the amana and related to us, and he told them, La tatruni kama asrat al-nasara in sabr Maryam. Do not go overboard as it relates to me, as the Christians went overboard in relationship to Isa ibn Maryam, alayhi salawatullah wa salamu. So we have too many ahadith, ikhwan, too many ayats of the Quran warning of the danger of going overboard. So these are those. These people will come and they will protect the religion from those people. Because if the religion was left up to them, they'll destroy the religion. And they'll destroy the adherents of the religion. So many of us can see a living example of this in the fact that most of us are musafirun, most of us are traveling. And we know from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is a sunnah that people are shy to practice. 5-6 brothers are in the van, 3 or 4 brothers are in the car, and no one wants to be the one who is uppermost and foremost, and the one who precedes the rest of them. We have to choose an Amir. We know that we have to choose an Amir. So we may have a carload of 4 or 5 brothers. One of the brothers in the car may be the most knowledgeable of the crew, but he is the most mutashaddid. He's the guy, when it's time to make a decision, he's going to make a decision. He's not going to take into consideration the weakest from amongst us. What's best for the crew? He's going to judge based upon what he can do. In those instances, when the affairs are left to that type of person, then the rihla, the trip is going to be a rihla of azab. So even though he may have the most knowledge, sometimes it's not the best situation for that particular person to be the Amir. If that's the case with a simple trip from point A to point B, what about the case when we look at the affairs of the Ummah? The second group of people is that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that they will protect the religion from the intihal of the Muslimin. They will protect the religion from those people who try to introduce into the deen what's not from the religion. They'll make the religion a new deen. It has a new form altogether. It is not the religion that Muhammad brought, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what his companions were upon. So they want to introduce celebrating the birthday of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They want to introduce into the religion new ways of reading the book of Allah, new ways of doing the different ibadat in the religion. Whatever it is, the people of obedience, the people of bid'ah, those people who are legislators along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these adults will protect the religion from the efforts of those people. And lastly, the third group of people who are mentioned in this hadith, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they will protect the religion from the ta'wil of the jahileen. They will protect the religion, these trustworthy people, from the explanations of the ignorant people. The people who want to give the ta'wil and the tafsir of the religion of al-Islam, whether it is the literal tafsir of the Quran, the literal tafsir of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rules, regulations, fundamental principles, they want to put forth their ignorant ideas that are built and predicated upon jahil. The responsibility and it's the job of those urdul to protect the ilm or the deen from the efforts of all three of those groups. So after that explanation, ikhwan, we want to now take a closer look at some of the fawa'id al-minhajiyya that we get from this hadith. Some of the minhaj benefits that we get from this hadith. And the top or the rock of all of those things that can be mentioned, we want to mention a very important point. A point that gives the person who is already Salafi, already on the sunnah, he's struggling, she's striving to be a person whose religion is not polluted with what's not from the deen. A person who's struggling to the best of their ability, they go back and forth as the wind blows. The iman of the person is like the feather that blows and is muqallab in the hawa. That's how Allah created the human being. But the person has a mabda. The person has a fundamental belief, and that is, if you went up to him, he's going to say, I'm on the Quran and the sunnah according to the way of the Salaf, and I'm struggling to do the right thing. So these are some of the issues that we need to know. The first of those issues that gives this individual a bushra, and it gives the person who's not upon this minhaj something to think about, because it's a dangerous issue. And that is that this hadith, along with other ahadith and other ayat of the Quran, it illustrates for us clearly that this da'wah and that this minhaj will be perpetual until Allah Ta'ala establishes the hour. This da'wah and this minhaj, and in addition to that, the people who are upon the da'wah and the minhaj with their struggles will be perpetual. There will be some istimrar. It's going to be continuous and it's not going to stop. We look at this hadith where the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in it, يَحْمِلُ هَذَا الْعِلْمِ. These people will carry or protect this religion. Another hadith that we can add on to that, Well, so is this point. What's the point, Ikhwan? Don't get me to start to pick you out and say, what point are we on? So pay attention, inshallah. So the point we're talking about is the istimrariya of this hadith, of this concept, that the da'wah and the minhaj will be perpetual and continual until Allah establishes the hour. The second hadith that proves that is the hadith of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhuma. And this hadith is a hadith that's mutawatir. We have all of these people in this room, almost this number of companions narrated this hadith. Many of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to us and they gave us this hadith. And that is the statement, and it's in Bukhari and Muslim, where the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, man yuridillahu bihi khayra yafaqahu fi al-deen. ولا تزال طائفة من أمتي على الحق منصورا لا يضرهم من خالفهم ولا من خذلهم حتى يأتي أمر الله. He said, whoever Allah wants good for, if Allah wants the khair, the good for someone, He gives him the fiqh of the religion, He gives him the understanding of the religion, the ability to understand the affairs as they present themselves to him. And he went on to say in the same hadith, and there will not cease to be a group of people from my ummah who will be victorious until the affair of Allah comes. So this aspect of the hadith where he said, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, wa la tazalu ta'ifatu min ummati. Wa la tazalu. So we have these two verbs. Yahilu hadha al-ilm, and la tazalu. Two verbs which are known as the fi'l mudari. For those of you who see it as being an important part of your Islam to learn Arabic, and this is an accepted idea that the Arabic language is the key to understanding the religion. So no matter how new you are in this religion or how long you've been in the religion, you have to make it your responsibility, Abdullah, to start now to get serious about the Arabic language. It'll help you to memorize the Quran better, and it'll help you to memorize the hadith of the Prophet better. And we know every journey begins with one step. You see yourself right now in this position right now where the talks of the shuyukh have to be translated. That's today. But after 2 or 3 years, you may be in a position because you started today where you're understanding what they are saying. I've seen that with my own eyes. Brother Hu from Houston is now studying Medina. How advanced was that brother when he went to Medina? Because he took upon himself already to start learning the Quran, to start learning the Arabic and the Quran at the same time. So in those two hadiths, the Prophet used two verbs which denote that the action is in the present, and it also denotes it's in the future. يَحْمِلُ هَذَا الْعِلْمِ لَا تَزَالُ تَعِفَةٌ. They will carry this deen, this knowledge. There will not cease to exist a group of people. There's another hadith, and there are many, that shows us that this minhaj and this da'wah will be continual and perpetual. And that's the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْعَثُ لِهَذِي الْأُمَّةِ عَلَى رَأْسِ كُلِّ مِئَةِ سَنَةٍ مَنْ يُجَدِّدُ لَهَا أَمْرَهَا. And in the narration it said, دِينَهَا. Allah's Messenger said, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Another hadith, the third hadith that proves this point, is a statement, verily Allah will send to this ummah on the beginning of every 100 years. Every 100 years, Allah is going to send someone to this ummah who will renew her religion, who will renew the religion. What is Islam in need of? A renewal? No, not that they're going to renew halal and haram, this is salal and zakat, do it in the way. No, they're going to bring back what the people stopped doing. Rectify what the people were doing. These are the people who will be part of the ghuraba, they'll be the imams of the ghuraba. So this is another clear hadith that he used the fi'l mudari. Yujaddidu laha deenaha. Yujaddidu. He will be a mujaddid. He will be a renewer. But we're talking about the renewer and the Quran and the Sunnah, not just the mere claim that someone is a mujaddid and he's in one boat going one way and Islam is in a boat going another way altogether. So every of those ahadith, Ikhwan, they show that this minhaj and this da'wah and this aqidah, and in addition to that, the people who are upon this, they will be under the divine watch of Allah Ta'ala. the divine protection of Allah Azza wa Jal. That's the first point, ikhwan. The next point that we want to mention concerning this particular hadith is, what is some of the awsaf, some of the sifat? What are some of the descriptions of these udul? What are some of their descriptions? These udul, these people who will carry this religion, this knowledge, they'll protect it from those three individuals that we just discussed. The efforts of those three groups, what are some of their characteristics? They have many characteristics that come to us in this hadith and other hadith. The first one that we want to mention now is that they will be the huras of the minhaj and the aqeed and the religion. They'll be the ones who will patrol the religion. They'll be the guardians of the religion. They're the ones who will be the defenders of the religion. That's the first characteristic of those people. So when a Muslim hears a hadith like this and he knows a hadith like this, he should not have any problem when he sees someone trying to defend Islam from the interpretations of the ignorant. He should not have a problem with a person when he sees him trying to defend Islam from what those people go overboard in the religion of trying to implement in the deen. Why? Because those are from the characteristics of the udul. That's their job, to defend the deen and everything that's inside of the deen, from the minhaj and the aqidah and the Muslims and their monies and their property, and on and on and on. That's their job. And not only is that their job, ikhwan, but it is from the best forms of jihad, as those imams used to say in the past. Al-Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah ta'ala, when the people used to ask him, Ya Abu Abdullah, so many times we see you digging yourself, dealing with this one and that one, and this one from these people who are deviant. He used to say that I see dealing with them, Ar-Rabd ala Mubtadiya, Afdal Jihad. He used to say to refute the deviant is the best type of jihad. It's the best type of jihad, ikhwan, because it is the type of jihad that will save the Muslims from destruction from within. When we find that those scholars used to say that so-and-so is more dangerous to the Muslims than the Jews and the Christians, those scholars didn't mean that the Jews and the Christians are going to go to paradise and that particular person who that scholar is criticizing from the Muslims is going to the hellfire. Nor does that statement mean that that particular scholar who's talking about that particular speaker, who that scholar said is more dangerous on the Muslims than the Jews and the Christians, not saying that the Jews and the Christians are better than that individual, but the Sheikh is saying that the danger of that person, because the Muslims see him as one who is from them, is better than that individual. But the Sheikh is saying that the danger of that person, because the Muslims see him as one who is from them, is more dangerous to the Jews and the Christians, who Allah Ta'ala told us clearly they're not going to be satisfied with you until you leave your religion. So the people take this one as a bosom buddy, and they take this one as an enemy. They won't accept anything from them. Whereas this person who is in their fold, who's speaking their language, as the hadith of Hudaysah suggests, they'll take from them. It's going to be a problem. So that's the first characteristic, ikhwan, that those people are the huraz, or the guard, the defenders of the religion, the vanguard of the religion of Al-Islam. They protect the Muslims. When we find brothers coming to some of the kibar al-ulama from Al-Jazair, from Algeria, years ago, and those shuyukh were giving advice to the brothers, don't go about rectifying your problems like this. Do not face those people who are the leaders over there with guns. Those scholars were defending the property of the Muslims. When the Shabab went against the Nasiha, the Shar and the Satir is still right on the face of the earth right now in Algeria. When the Sheikh Umar Abdul Rahman came to America and he started to give the dawah to his dawah, and the ulama were advising the people, do not follow this man, do not get it. They're protecting the blood and the property and the money of the Muslims. There are still people who are locked up right now simply because the government said you were connected to Fulan. So they protect the religion. They protect the minhaj. They protect the people. And that's the best kind of jihad. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam has described those people as being the hurrah of the deen. Another description or sifa from the sifat of the udul. from these people is that Allah Ta'ala has given them a tazkiyah. Allah Ta'ala has given them the recommendation. Allah has praised them. So now they're not in need of anyone else's tazkiyah. And if Allah Ta'ala praised them, they don't need a tazkiyah from anyone else. So it shows us the grave mistake that the people make when they start to ask about the scholars of Al-Islam. The scholars of Al-Islam, they're not the ones who should be asked about, but they're the ones who are in a position to ask, what are you about? Who are you? They have a tazkiyah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have too many examples in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam has told us about them. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Messenger of Allah to say to us, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِ أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمِنَ اتَّبَعَنِ. That's a tazkiyah from Allah ta'ala. Say unto them, Muhammad, verily this is my way. This minhaj, this aqidah, this Islam. This is the way, this is the correct way. I call to Allah on the basira, with knowledge, with the hujjah, with the burhan, with clarity, with the bayina, me and those who follow me. Who's foremost in following the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, other than those who know him better than the rest of the creation? So that's a tazkiyah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those obey ikhwan, they are the people who have the tazkiyah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will look at them and their efforts, and you will see that the mountains that Allah said are pegs in the earth, the mountains will disappear for whatever reason, and those Abul are still remaining. Populations will be destroyed, civilizations will be wiped out, and the remnants of those Abul are still remaining. When those people in Iraq had their problem with the people in Kuwait, and the people went and they destroyed Iraq, they wiped them out, and yet all of the knowledge that was in Iraq from the people of the Sunnah from the past to this day, they're still remaining. We still know who they are. Their books are still available, past and present. Those Abul will remain when the greatest objects on the face of the earth have been wiped away. But their names will still remain. So it is against all common sense, it is against intelligence for a Muslim to allow himself to be on the other side of the fence as it relates to the scholars of Al-Islam. As it relates to the scholars of Al-Islam. If you have a person who is dear to you, and you see in that person a lot of efforts that he put forth, and those efforts would suggest that he did a lot of good, but you find the scholars of Al-Islam collectively warning against that individual. You find the scholars, the people of Al-Islam, collectively putting a question mark over that individual, even if it doesn't appear clear to you. You don't understand. You don't know all of the details of a fitna or the problem of why they're saying that. You can rest assured, if you're on the side of the scholars, you're going to be safe. First of all, their opportunities to get the ifaba, their opportunity to hit the mark, is going to be greater than everyone else's. The next thing is, you've been ordered, when you don't know, just to follow them. Listen to ask them what they say, to follow them. So anytime we find the Muslims leaving themselves, being far away from the scholars of Al-Islam, then we're going to have a problem. And this was a concept that we found some difficulty getting a lot of the brothers to accept in the years gone by in putting the Dawah of Salafiyah down. You see the people, they used to say, how is it possible? And there were brothers, inshallah, who we consider to be good brothers, inshallah, with ikhlas, the ibnillah. But it is a statement of jahil. Which brings me to the other point, and that is, like Sheikh Nasir al-Din al-Albani used to say all the time, rahimahullah ta'ala, Allah used to give him the ability to say a few words, and he had a lot of hikmah in it. He used to say, everyone who falls into kufr, kufr doesn't fall on him. Everyone who falls into deviance, deviation doesn't fall on him. Kullu man waqa fi kufr, la yaqa kufr alayhi. Wa kullu man yaqa fi al-bid'ah, la taqa al-bid'ah alayhi. just because a man does something of kufr or he falls into something as a bid'ah, it doesn't make that man a kafir, doesn't make that man a mubtadi'. So those brothers in the past who used to try to tell him, we have to take our affairs, Ya Abdullah, this is our masjid, this is our markaz and our sin or whatever, we have to put it in the hands of the people of knowledge. That doesn't mean that we're going to ask him, Sheikh, we want to buy this land and we want to sell it for this amount of money, what do you think? No, we're talking about the direction of the place. People will say, that doesn't make sense. How are we going to do that? Those people live all the way over there and we live over here. What does that sound like? And they used to put racist connotations and understandings to those statements. So this is a nukta or a point that should be mustaslama. It should be something that is musallama, something that we should accept because it's from Islam. So those are some of the more important sifat of those people. Another sifat is that their minhaj, what they call to, the adul, what they are upon is clear. It is wadih. You don't find the affair ghamid. They do not come out to you today and they say something in public to the people today, and then at nighttime of that same day they close the door, pull the curtains, and then they say something different to a group of us. One thing in the daytime, another thing in the nighttime. One thing to half of the Jama'ah, another thing to the other half of the Jama'ah. You don't find them having these inconsistencies and these contradictions. Their way, their minhaj, their aqidah is wadih, wadiha. Anytime you see someone treating you like that, you come to know he's telling a group of people one thing and he's telling us another thing, then you know that there's some problems. Their way is wadih. This is the way of the Anbiya of Allah Ta'ala. This is the minhaj of the Anbiya of Allah Ta'ala. Salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. That's why all the time you find in the Quran, they used to say, all of them in so many ayat, they would say the same thing. Ara'aytu min kuntu ala bayyinatin min Rabbi. Don't you people see that I'm on the bayyinat of my Lord? It's clear what I'm on. What I'm about is clear. And I'm not going to acquiesce. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to be. There's room for hikmah, ikhwan. There's room for muruna. There's room for flexibility. But the person to make the tanazul or to compromise is mabda? No, it's none of that. That's why you find those imams in the past. The person will come obedient and he'll say to that particular imam, Ta'al, li'uhawiruka, li'ujadiruka, li'unaqishuka. Come on, let's have a discussion, let's have a debate, let's have some kind of, let's carry on and start arguing with each other. Those imams could take that person and twist them up like a pretzel and deal with them if you want it. But they used to say to him, look, amma ana fa ana ala bayyinatin min amri. Idhaq, wabhaq, and shak, mithlik. As for me, I'm a clear, I know my religion. Qala Allah wa qala Rasulullah. And this is what the companions used to understand, that's how he did it. I'm clear about that. As for you, go look for someone else who's similar to you. He has doubt. Today he's in the blue fold, tomorrow he's in the green fold, then he's in another fold, and then he's in another fold, and he's the one who's every other day you see him like a chameleon changing into another aqidah, another minhaj. So finally he went around the full circle, did everything except the right thing, which is the Dawah of the house. So the minhaj is wadih. Now we come, ikhwan, to this issue, and that is, what is the minhaj of those urdur? What is their minhaj? What are they upon? How is their minhaj? How do we recognize them? How do we know them? What are they doing? Those urdur who will protect this ilm or this deen from the tahreef of the ghalim and the intihal of the mubtaleen and from the ta'weel of the jahili. What's their minhaj? Their minhaj is clear and it's simple. Their minhaj is the minhaj of the tasfiyah wa tarbiyah. As this hadith suggests, those brothers brought this hadith because it is one of the clearest proofs, the clearest hadith that proves this concept of tasfiyah wa tarbiyah. What's the tasfiyah? To purify. You put this and you pour it in this water. It's mixed up. Juice and water. Now I have to get it straight on. I have to purify it. Usafihi. I have to make it clear. I have to make this cat safia. Pure, clear. How do they do it? They do what? Those people go overboard. They fight them so they don't put nothing in the religion that is overboard. Those people try to introduce the bid'ah. They explain to the people. Take out of the religion. This is not from Islam. This is not from Islam. Those people want to come and get false interpretations, those juhal, the jahileen,
clothes or jewels, they come and they say, no! They purify the religion from the pollution of the jihad. That's the tasfiyah. That's the effort of a tasfiyah. As for the tarbiyah, when they do all of that, they replace and they give to the ummah that which is Islam. They say, these three groups, they're giving you what's not Islam, we're going to protect you from it. Here, let us give you Islam in replacement. They're not like the young Shabab, the whippersnappers, run around and they want to destroy, 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 and not replace anything with anything. Theoretics. Let's sit down and theorize about Islam, and we're going to build what needs to be built by theory. As I look, I see many brothers, when they hear this concept of at-tasfiyah wa tarbiyah, still it's not clear to many brothers, it's not crystal clear how it should be. At-tasfiyah wa tarbiyah. Well, what is it? Some people are pretty close in their understanding, some people are less than that, some people don't have a clue. I'll give you an example of at-tasfiyah wa tarbiyah by giving you this story of a group of people who used to live in the Wadi. And the Wadi Ikhwani is a piece of earth that's down in the valley. It's the ground that's lower than the ground that's above it. It's the Wadi. On either side of the valley are a group of mountains. Over there, there are mountains to the right. Over there to the left are mountains. The rain used to come down, and it used to come down, and it used to hit the top of the mountains, and it used to hit the Wadi. When the rain stopped, because it was so much rain, pure, succulent rain, rain that is azim, firah, and sadir. When the rain was stopped, there was still rain that was caught on top of the mountain that used to come down in the stream. Pure, succulent rain. Those people used to take that rain and they would drink it and it would give them life, the Ibnillah. They would take that pure rain, they'll put it in their land to cause their vegetation to grow. They would take the rain and give it to be drunk by the animals. It had an effect on the air. It made the air pure. Man, wake up in the morning, oh, air, you can smell it. It's a difference. It's not polluted. The rainwater was so pure, it caused their bodies to be strong, their animals to be nice, their food, vegetation, everything was affected by the rain. Their enemy, when they used to engage the enemy, because they were strong, when they used to engage the enemy, they would pulverize them, annihilate them. That was their condition, and then they died. After that, their grandchildren came. When their grandchildren came, they remembered the importance that their forefathers placed upon that pure drinking water. They knew that their forefathers were a group of people who, if you so much as thought of throwing something in the water, they would come and deal with you. Hey, we heard you wanted to throw something in the water. Not you threw something, we heard you wanted to throw something in the water. That's how serious they were about protecting the water, the purity of the water. So those children came, those grandchildren. Turned out that there was a person from the grandchildren who took something and he threw something in the water. And the people were lackadaisical about it. After that, two more people threw something in the water. Then three people and four people. Now they started to race each other. Who can throw the worst thing in the water? So there were those of them who used the bathroom in the water, akramakum Allah. There were those of them who went real overboard and they started throwing the dead donkeys in the water, dead dogs in the water, trash, garbage. When that happened, the water became polluted. Them and their descendants, their children became affected. They became weak. Their bodies started to get weak because they're drinking from the water. Their animals started to get weak because they're drinking from the water. Now their enemies and them are similar. They're weak, the enemies are weak. So when they engaged each other, the enemies started to beat them now. At that point, they split off into three different groups. Three different opinions. One group of people said, okay, we have a problem here. We have to solve our problem. Our problem is the enemy. The enemy is the problem. We need to do something about dealing with the enemy. Make up a game plan to go and deal with the enemy. Because if we don't get rid of the enemy, they're going to be a menace for us, and it's going to be a continual problem. Another group of people said, no, no, no. We're people who are sick. Our bodies are sick. We need some doctors. We need to deal with our heart. We need to do some things that will remind us about how things used to be, make us feel good. Maybe we'll be protected by the enemy because we can fly and we can feel good. Then the third group of people were the uqala, the shuyukh, the people who had intelligence. They said, no, not that and not that. You know what the problem is? The problem is we have destroyed the source. We have polluted the source. We have to start to make a jihad and struggle to rectify and to purify and to clean up the source. If the source becomes hot, not the source, the tomato source, the source, S-O-U-R-C-E. If we clean up the source, then what happened to them is going to happen to us. Yes, 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 right now at the beginning it's going to be a struggle because it doesn't happen overnight. We're still going to be sick, but you know, with the passing of each day, with cleaning and going back to the source, we get that much stronger to the point that we'll have the ability to go up the mountain and to drink from the direct source. And to become even quicker, be stronger even quicker, come back down and deal with our enemies. That's the meaning of the tasfiyah, ikhwan, and the tarbiyah of al-Islam. That the people return back to what the grandfathers were upon, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum, and that purity of the proper aqidah and the proper minhaj. And this, and Allah knows best, is what will rectify the condition of the Muslims. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us and to facilitate for us his tawfiq. Hadha wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'in.
JazakAllahu khairan. That was a good note from khairan. We're going to have some questions with our brother. And I also want to mention one small schedule change. At 5:35 after Salat al-Asr, instead of staying in the grand ballroom like you did yesterday, I want you to come down here. We're going to have separate question and answers down here because upstairs there's too many people to really get the questions answered. So that's the way, inshallah. So go ahead, brothers. Jamal, Sulaiman in the house.
Write your questions down, Ikhwan. Inshallah, the ma'alam, shukran. The ma'alam of the minhaj of the anbiya in the dawah to Allah. The signpost, the sign of the minhaj of the anbiya when they call to Allah. Some of the things that you know, this is the minhaj of the anbiya, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi. And we're going to mention the contrast of that with the contemporary dawahs that are on the face of the earth. And I think the third one is going to be some of the things we need to know in al-amru bil ma'ruf wa nahy an al-munkar. We have two questions. The first question is about ignorance.
first question is, a person wants to learn about Islam and he wants to read the books of Islam. He's being hounded by a brother telling him that he can't read directly without a sheikh. But he wants to learn. He wants to read a book like Fiqh al-Bari. First of all, in this issue, we have to be in the middle course. And the middle course is that what he shall read in books is one of the best ways of getting a tafaqquh fi deen. You reading by yourself. One of the best ways to become a faqih is to read books by yourself. In addition to that, the way the books are right now with the muhaqqiqun, we have students of knowledge and ulama who are making the tahqiq and the tahreed of the book. They're like the sheikh right now. You have the sheikh right there with you in your house. When you read with the sheikh, he goes over the words that are ambiguous or difficult to understand. He tells you this hadith is sahih, da'if, this, that. So you have the sheikh right there. So reading the book, no doubt, is good. Plus, a person may be given some intelligence where he can read, he can come out with things that someone else can't give him, just by virtue of the fact that he's an intelligent student. So you should read. But in the book, like Fath al-Bari or other books, in the book, Ikhwan, there may be something that you need a sheikh. He's going to be the doctor to explain to you what this is and what that is. So you're going to need a book. And may Allah have mercy upon the poet who said from the Salaf about knowledge, Al-ilmu la yunalu illa bi-sittatin. Al-ilmu la yunalu illa bi-sittatin. Fa-umbika anha bil-bayani. Hirsun wa-sibarun wa-bulghatun wa-zaka. Wa-suhfatu ustazin wa-tulu zamani. Knowledge will not be acquired. It will not be acquired except by six ways. And I'm going to tell you about them and I'm going to explain them. The first way is hirs. The person has to have the desire to go get knowledge. You're not going to sit in the comfort of your own home and learn Islam. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ وَإِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ. Really, knowledge comes by going to get it. And becoming soft and easy is by making yourself be soft and easy. So you have to have the hirs. The second thing he said is istibar or sabr. You have to be patient. Wallahi, if Shaykh Ali Hassan al-Halabi, Shaykh Usama al-Qusi, Shaykh Abu Usama Salim al-Hilali, may Allah protect all of them, if one of them went to each one of our communities, the first month, the people would be hyped up, pumped up. But after the first month, 2 months, you see that the number of people participating is going to be less. So you have to be patient with their knowledge. The third thing he said was bulgha, or bulgha, and that means the thing that الَّذِي يُبْلِغُكَ إِلَى الْعِلْمِ, the thing that will help you to get the knowledge, your zad. You can't get knowledge if you don't have money to take care of yourself. You people came here to Detroit by spending money. They come here because the malaika, even though they lower their wings in humility to the Talib, they didn't fly you in here. You came over here because you spent your money and you drove here. So the student of knowledge who doesn't have money going to have a fitna. And that's why, that was one of the reasons, Ikhwan, we used to tell the people, look, Medina is the best place to study. Medina and Mecca. People used to get upset at that statement. Medina is the best place to study. The student gets flown over there, he gets his living quarters, and he gets a salary each month. The ulama in Mecca, he prays 1,000 salat for 1 salat in Medina. He goes to Mecca each month and he makes umrah. He's over in that part of the world. In the summertime, he could take that expensive trip from there back to here and say, I want to chop it up. I want to go to Africa. I want to go to the Islamic country. That doesn't say that there's no knowledge in Yemen. There's no knowledge in Egypt. No, there's knowledge there. But how many brothers do we know who went over there and the thing that they're concerning themselves with right now is malaria, the police, eating. You have to have some zad. A brother wants to come to QSS conference. And now he's out there, he wants to get in, but he doesn't have money to participate. He's worrying about where's the next meal going to come from. So the student of knowledge, he has to have some zakat. The fifth thing that he said, the fourth thing is that he has to have some zakat. He has to be intelligent. The intelligence, you can't come out of, you know, a brother said, I'm an old head, I just can't study, I'm a celibate, but I ain't trying to memorize all that. I'm an old head, and it is like that. He ain't going to tell you. Al-Imam Sufyan said this, he ain't going to tell you that. She don't memorize this few hadith, ayat, that's it. The fifth thing is he said, and he needs a suhbatu ustad. He needs to be the companion of a teacher. He needs a teacher.
And the sixth thing is that he needs tool of demand, a long time. You're not going to get knowledge, young buck, you're not going to get knowledge after 1 year, after 2 years. Wallahi, we have to be support our one to another. Look, the brother's a new Muslim, he's on the dawah for 1 year, now he's going to kick and pluck everybody out of the dawah. He's going to sit, he's plucking his tooth, and he's plucking people out of the dawah at the same time. You gone, and he's happy at that. Come on, Afi, take it easy. Wallahi, I've sat with these ulama and these shuyukh for years now, even as recently as last week in England. The brothers come with their problems to them. Brothers who have some problems, their question marks, issues. Wallahi, the way the people of knowledge solve and handle them problems, first thing they always say to the brothers is, we don't want to lose this brother. We don't want to lose this brother. Brother Najib, even there, we don't want to lose. It's not the case of the people. People want people to get plucked off. They're happy at that. That's a sad state of affairs. So those are the 16 ikhwan. The other question is, what if a brother is ignorant, that he's telling the deviant, he's a new Muslim, do we consider him like them, or after advising them? No. The new Muslim, inshallah, we have to do our best to be patient with him, to be careful with him. And this is why in Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he used to say, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ مِنْ عَجْمِيهِ أَوْ لِلْسَبِيهِ خَيْرًا قَيَّدُهُ لِصَاحِبِ السُنَّةِ. If Allah wanted good for a non-Arab, for a young man good, he would give him someone from the Sunnah. You don't want those young people going to those deviants. Why? The meaning of the statement is, the ajami, he becomes a Muslim, he's wide open. He's going to listen to whatever, anything. The young man, he opens up his eyes, in front of him is this, that. He has people enough. He's on his natural way. So whatever he opens his eyes, that's what he finds. That's what he's going to latch onto. So we don't throw him out into deviants. We give him some time. You have to have the argument established on him and so forth and so on. This question says, please explain what is meant by the hadith, until the affair of Allah comes. Until the affair of Allah comes in the hadith, ikhwan, there will not cease to be a group of people of my ummah victorious on the haq. There's an ikhtilaf from the scholars as to the reality and what the meaning until the affair of Allah comes. But in actuality, the ikhtilaf isn't the ikhtilaf of tabad. It isn't the ikhtilaf that contradicts white, black, night, day, haq, batil. It's not that ikhtilaf. It is the ikhtilaf of tanu'. It's the ikhtilaf that sheds light on, each statement sheds light on the next thing. Like the meaning of al-jama'ah. The scholars give different interpretations. What is the jama'ah? Some of them say the jama'ah is what Abu Bakr and Umar. The meaning of the jama'ah is al-sawad al-a'zam, the majority. The meaning of the jama'ah is al-haq, when kunta wahdik, you by yourself. The meaning of the jama'at is the companions and what they were upon. So there are different statements, but that is ikhtilaf of a tanu'. It's not ikhtilaf where they're going against each other. Each definition gives more light to the other thing. You understand? They're not different. That's why when the people came to Imam Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahimahullah ta'ala, and they said to him, what is the jama'at? Who is the jama'at? He said, Abu Bakr and Umar. They said, no, after them, they're not here no more. He mentioned some people from the Tabi'in. No, after them, who is? He mentioned some people after that. So they said, no, after them. Do it right now. Who's the Jama'ah? He said, Abu Hamza Sukkar. So he said, Abu Bakr and Umar was the Jama'ah. Then after him, some other people after him. Abu Hamza Sukkar, doing their time. So what is he saying? Not ikhtilaf where there's some difference. No. Abu Hamza Sukkar is upon what Abu Bakr and Umar were upon, and so on. It's just giving light to the difference. So in this, until the affair of Allah comes, they have ikhtilaf, and each ikhtilaf gives light to the other one. But suffice it to say that the meaning of this hadith could be understood in the hadith of Amr, Uqba ibn Amr radiallahu anhu, in the authentic hadith of Sahih Muslim, where the Prophet told us a long hadith about a Ya'juj and Ma'juj. When they come out, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they appear, the Gog and the Magog, Allah is going to order Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salawatullah wa salamuhu to go with the believers on the top of Mount Tur. Because, as the hadith said, they're not going to be able to deal with Ya'juj and Ma'juj. They can't fight them. And Isa ibn Maryam is helped by Allah. And he's strong. And he has believers with him. Not only believers, but they're the Ta'iba to Mansura. But Allah told them, don't face the enemy. You can't deal with Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Go up on the mountain. So Hijra is going to be at that time. They're going to go up on top of the mountain. At that time, Ya'juj and Ma'juj are going to make facade in the earth. Going to kill the people up, kill the animals. Come to some water, a body of water, drink it up. After they make all that facade, they say amongst themselves, لَقَتَلْنَا مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ لِنَقْتُلْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. We killed everybody in the earth. Let's now kill those in the sky. I never believe that Allah Ta'ala is in the sky over his arsh. Let's kill the people, those, the Ahl al-Sama'. At that time, because they had that jira'ah and that zul, Allah Ta'ala will send to him, Allah will send to them some worms, some dews, a dew that comes from the nose of the camel, and they will destroy the Gog and the Magog. Look how big Gog and Magog are. They made all of that sit and they drunk all of that water, killed everybody, and yet Allah destroyed them with what? With the worm. وَلَا يَعْلَمُوا جُنُودَ رَبِّهِ إِلَّهُ. Nobody knows the soldiers of Allah except him. And then they'll see the birds down, the birds that take them and throw them over the water. That time he said to Maryam, the people are going to come down. When they come down, they're going to find a Chinese apple or ruman. Three people are going to carry it. They're going to find fruit that has a rind. Not a watermelon, but like a watermelon, like a melon. A sundew melon. Melon dew. After they eat it, they'll be able to build their houses from that melon. That's how beautiful the life is going to be. That is the meaning of they will remain victorious until the affair of Allah comes. Until the affair of Allah comes. Until this happens. They're going to come down. They're the Ta'ifah to Mansurah, the Taqat and Najiyah, those people. That's the meaning of the affair of Allah Ta'ala. Now, there is something we have to make clear, Ikhwan, concerning this point, and that is three things are going to happen are a necessity in this issue. And this was going to happen. The first thing is that they're going to have the Sabbath. That Ta'ifah to Mansurah is going to be established. The people from it are going to be established. And when the winds of adversity come, they do not get blown off the hawk. No matter how hard people blow, the Ta'ifah to Mansurah, they remain firm. No matter what the opposition is, no matter what it is. لا يضرهم من خالفهم ولا من خذلهم. They're going to remain savage. The second point, Ikhwan, is they will get the Nasr. They will be Mansurun. They will be Mansurun. They're going to be helped, victorious. In the hadith of Amr ibn Husayn, radiyallahu anhu, has been collected by Imam Abu Dawood, rahimahullahu ta'ala, the Prophet gave another version, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of this hadith. لا تزال طائفة من أمتي على الحق حتى يقاتل آخرهم الدجال. They're Mansurun. They will not cease to be a group of people from my ummah on the haq. Until the last of them, Ta'ifah al-Mansurah, fight a Dajjal. Who's going to fight a Dajjal, Ikhwan? Isa ibn Maryam. So that's proof too that Isa ibn Maryam, or the Dajjal, he comes after Ya'juj and Ma'juj. If Ya'juj and Ma'juj's fitna was and is the way it is, Isa ibn Maryam, or a Dajjal's fitna is greater than them. Prophet said about him, مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ آدَمْ فِتْنَةٍ أَكْبَرَ مِنَ الدِّجَّالِ. Allah has not created a fitna after Adam that is greater than the fitna of a Dajjal. And yet, they saw Ifat al-Mansur, they're going to kill him. So they're going to be Mansurun and nothing. The third thing, Ikhwan, is that they will have become king in the earth. Allah would establish them in the earth. So those three things. Number one, they are savage. Number two, an-Nasr. The third thing, they will get some king. They will be the authority. They will be the ones who in place. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, سَيَبْلُغُ هَذَا الدِّينُ مَا بَلَغَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ. This religion will reach wherever there's a day and a night. In another hadith, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ زَوَلِيَ الْأَرْضِ فَرَأَيْتُ مَشَارِقَهَا وَمَغَارِبَهَا وَإِنَّ مُلْكَ أُمَّتِي يَبْلُغُ مَا ذُوِيَ لِي مِنْهَا. Verily Allah brought the earth together for me like this, and I saw the east and the west. And verily, the dominion of my ummah is going to reach everything that was brought before my eyes. The hadith of Khabbab, radiallahu anhu, at the end of the hadith, the Prophet told him, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِهِ لَيَتِمَّنَّ اللَّهُ هَذَا الْأَمْرُ حَتَّى يَسِيرَ الرَّاكِبُ مِنْ صَنْعَاءِ لَهَدْرَمَوْتِ لَا يَخَافُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالذِّئْبَ عَلَى غَنَمِهِ وَلَكِنَّكُمْ مُسْتَعْجِلُونَ. I say by the one whose hand my soul is in, verily the time is going to come where the rider is going to ride from Hadramaut, from Sana'a, all the way to Hadramaut. He's not going to be afraid of anything except Allah and the sheep from feeding up, the wolf from eating the sheep. So that tells about that time, Isa ibn Maryam, when the time is like that. So nothing is going to be accepted from the people except Islam or Al-Qatl. No jizya, no anything. Islam or the Qatl. I love to... The brother said, if Allah wants good for a non-Arab or a young person, he guides him to the person of the Sunnah. What does this mean? And who actually said it? I heard other than Sufyan al-Thawri said it. We already mentioned what it, we already said what it meant, that the Arab, the Ajami, and the young person, they come to Islam and they're brand new. So whoever they hook up with, that's who they're going to go with. Another possible meaning of it is that because of their lack of Arabic language, the Ajami doesn't know the language for himself. So he has to depend on Yusuf Ali. He has to depend on Tabligh al-Nisab. He has to depend on those other books that come from that area that we used to be subjected to. As for who said it, it's been authentically recorded that Sufyan al-Thawri said it, as well Abu Bakr Ayyub al-Sakhtiyani, another tremendous scholar of Islam. And we have a question here, Juan. I can't really use this handwriting. He says in our area there are many people who aren't on the dawah. We pray with them, they're not on the dawah. Brothers, based on the rules of Ahl al-Sunnah, they could pray behind all imams, whether religious or irreligious. I was struck in my face by a Sufi after I criticized him justifiably. Should I pray at their mosque after I feel I want kisar? Please, I want revenge. In this case, we advise you, no kifaf in this case, inshallah. If you leave it for Allah and turn the other cheek and be patient with the situation, continue to deal with that which annoys you from the Muslims, inshallah Allah will raise you in honor. Man tawada'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. Whoever is humble for Allah's sake, Allah will raise him. Man taraka shay'an lillah awadahu Allah ma huwa khayrun minhu. Whoever leave something for Allah, Allah give him something better than that. So be patient. If there's a message of the Sunnah that's easily accessible, then we advise to go to the message of the Sunnah to increase the numbers of the Sunnah and not the numbers of the people of Bid'ah. But if you are forced out of necessity, it's the closest masjid, most reasonable place for you to go. If they don't have any Bid'ah of Kufr, then continue to pray behind them, give them the Nasiha, give them the Amr bin Ma'ruf and the Nahi and the Munkar. As for the issue of Qifaz, no Qifaz. Towards the end of Meccan period, many aspects. Is there any difference between the first point, having Sabbat, and the third point, being Tamkeen on the earth? Now, a Sabbat signifying your frame of mind because of your belief. You can't be shook from what you're upon. A Sabbat is something that's coming from the heart, something that is internal. You may not have tamkeen in the earth, but you can still have sabbat. You can still be sabbat on what you're upon without any tamkeen. We don't have tamkeen in the earth, and we have people who are sabbatoon. What tamkeen in the earth means that you have the power and the ability in the earth to execute your plan, to execute your game plan. Abu Osama, can you please name those Majestic from the first century to now? Ikhwan,
The issue of the Mujaddid is massive and it's comprehensive. They're not only the Mujaddidun from the Ilm al-Hadith, they're not only the Mujaddidun from Fiqh, they're the Mujaddid in Arabic language, they're Mujaddid in Fiqh, in Hadith, in Usul al-Fiqh, in history, in all of that. It's not just the people who are religiously on the Sunnah. Mujaddid who can be in the issue of medicine, so it is the ulama have given the Mujaddidun all of that because it benefits all of the religion. It benefits and it's part and parcel of the deen of Allah Ta'ala from them and Imam Ahmed, Ibn Taymiyyah, Abdullah. It benefits and it's part and parcel of the deen of Allah Ta'ala from them and Imam Ahmed, Ibn Taymiyyah, Abdullah. It benefits and it's part and parcel of the deen of Allah Ta'ala from them and Imam Ahmed, Ibn Taymiyyah, Abdullah. It benefits and it's part and parcel of the deen of Allah Ta'ala from them and Imam Ahmed, Ibn Taymiyyah, Abdul Wahhab, Imam Sheikh Nasir bin Albani, Ibn Baz. There's so many people, rahimahum Allah Ta'ala. كيف نعرف إذا كان داعي يدعو إلى منهج الحق. How do we know if a caller, a da'i, is calling to the minhaj, that's the truth? How do we know that? How can we know that? We know that from a number of ways. One of the ways that we know that is that you first have to know what's the haq. You have to know the minhaj al-haq. If you don't know, how you going to identify what's being said and who's on the haq, who's not on the haq? You have to know first. The second thing, ikhwan, is you got to look. Is this individual tying the people lillah, ولكتاب الله ولسنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولكتاب الله ولسنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولأصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلماء الأمة tying them to them, or it's a good sign, or is he tying them to a Tanzeem, an organization? Is he tying them to a Hizb? Is he tying them to a masjid? Is he tying them to an individual, a shakhsiyya? And with that, we say to you and we reiterate, we warn you, a warning, ikhwan, iyakum thumma iyakum wal ashkhar. Beware of the personalities, ya Abdullah, beware of the personalities. Don't make your religion the deen of our personalities. A man is savage today, tomorrow he's not savage, he's on something else. And you go right out the window with them if you're a person who's just into the personality worship. So look, is the person doing all of that? Another thing is, those people of knowledge, did they identify, yes, that person is a person of the minhaj al-salafi? Ma ba'du al-aqwam. What is the condition of some of the young people who want to pluck someone off of the da'wah? And the people of knowledge, they know that person is on the da'wah. If the people of knowledge are saying that person is on the da'wah, then so the other people's statements against the wall, وَلَا تُبَالُونَ. What are the first steps in dealing and approaching the deviant and or innovators? Inshallah, we're going to deal with that in the other thing. We have some good questions. We're going to save some of these questions, like, what is the difference between tazkiyah and tazkiyah? I'm actually, we are the minority among the tabligh ikhwani Sufi. Not to mention, it's an ikna, actually, we are young, and if we speak out, they would attack us. How could we deal with this situation? It's a real situation here. What advice do you give to a brother who is married, however, he wants to marry a woman who right now is a kafir? And I've invited the woman to this conference because the brother wants her to be a Muslim. Here are the last two questions we're going to deal with, inshallah. We say these, and we'll deal with those questions at the next talk, inshallah. The question here says, Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam. We are in the city of Toronto, and we want to learn, who do you think we can learn? Toronto, I know a lot of brothers from Toronto. I don't know. The Toronto brother that I'm coming to me, I have to remember who's from Toronto. Are you from Toronto? that brother come to me, inshallah, and we'll discuss that in Toronto. We hope that the brothers in Toronto have some conferences like this, get the people's knowledge of fear, so that they can deal with all of the issues that are peculiar to all of these places. In England, the brothers were muhtalifun, not of ikhtilaf. In America, muhtalifun. And something is wrong with this equation, I'm telling you. Something is wrong. There's something that's going wrong. And people should be man enough to step up to the pump, step up to the plate and say, this is the role that I play. Okay, I opened the door. Abu Usama, I'm man enough to say I'm the cause of this particular thing. And people start rectifying the situation. But for it to be like it is in Toronto and Canada and America, and everyone is screaming at the same time, Salafi, Salafi, Salafi. There's an ayat in the Quran with Fir'aun and Musa, Bani Israel, Bani Israel, Rabbana la taj'alna fitnatan lil ladina kafaru. They said, oh our Lord, do not make us a fitna for those who disbelieve. Mujahid, rahimahullahu ta'ala, the student of Ibn Abbas, he said, the meaning of this ayah is, Bani Israel, the mu'minun, was saying, don't make us a fitna for the zalimun. Don't make us a fitna, number one, in that we get punished at their hands. They kill us. And don't make us a fitna for them in that they may say, look, if you people were really on the truth, we wouldn't be over you like this. If you people really were the Ashab al-Haq, you had the truth, we wouldn't have this power over you. It doesn't make sense. We, Fir'aun, Mushrik, Zalim, Fasiq, all of that. And yet, he's over the people of Islam, the people of Tawheed. They used to make that dua. Don't make us a fitna for those people who disbelieve. Doesn't it make more sense, Ikhwan, Qiyas, and Ola? It makes more sense that we say, oh Allah, don't make us a fitna for those who believe. Where now people are trying to fight each other on the same issue. So that Toronto question, you come to me, inshallah. In an environment where there are no schools, no students of knowledge, no chin check of any sort. Chin check, what is that? Wait, where is this person from? No chin check or any sort. But bad characters openly apparent and people by the group acquire bad taste of individuals. How do we then handle the situation if one was pushed to the limit and responded in a not so best fashion, but the circumstances demanded negative to negative? As for the concept of repelling evil with evil, it's a foreign concept in the religion of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that the reward of an ihsan is ihsan. The reward of good is that you do good. And the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't repay the asa'a with the asa'a. But we have to do the asa'a with ihsan. We have too many hadith. If people cut you off from your relatives, continue to connect yourself to them. He used to get all of that treatment from the people, and yet he was from the sabirin. He was from those who were patient. He continued to turn the other cheek, in the hope that the people would come to Islam. And one of the clearest examples of that is when he went to give the dawah to the ignorant people of Ta'if, and they leashed upon him the majaneen and the juhar and the afar, the kids and the crazy people, the ignorant people. And he went out to him and he started throwing rocks, hitting him in his head with rocks, hitting him in his body, not with pebbles, hitting him in his head with rocks. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so his sandals became full with blood. And in a moment of recollection and considering, while he was sitting there thinking about, when is the help of Allah going to come? What are my people doing? I'm doing good, they doing evil to me. He was sitting there contemplating. Jibril came, alayhi salatu salam, and with Jibril were the angel, that's the angel of the mountain. And Jibril said to him, Ya Muhammad, this is the Malik of Arshadain, the two great mountains of Mecca. All you gotta do is give me the say so, you're gonna smash him up. What do you gotta do? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Jibreel alayhi wa sallam, and the angel was just there waiting.
All you gotta do, Muhammad, is say it.
And that's what they've done.
The Prophet said to them,
it may be that from their loins, not them, far range, he was looking down the road. It may be that from their loins are going to come some people who worship Allah. Allahumma la tu'akhid qawmi wa hum la ya'lamun. Allah, don't punish my people because they don't know. They're ignorant. They don't know. And sure enough, the children became Muslims. And they had the people the likes of Adi, Ibn Hatim, Asa'i, and other companions from that area. Uqba ibn Amr, that came from that area up there. And they did a lot of things for Islam. From Dua. So none of us are better than the Prophet of Islam. Just be patient and seek the reward from Allah Ta'ala. And we ask Allah to give you the quwwa and the taqwa and the wherewithal to be from those people who can be patient.